We were also talking about recreational marijuana that's going to be on the ballot. People are asking if I support it or not. Overwhelmingly, when I asked you if you do, you said yes. More of those messages are coming in about why they won't support it, and I'll get to those, but I want to connect with our guest. Katrina Christensen, as I told you, is the Democratic NPL candidate for the U.S. Senate. She entered the race, got the endorsement from that side of the political aisle here in North Dakota, and now she joins us here on Afternoons Live to talk about some of the changes with Rick Becker entering the race. Katrina, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Tyler. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you lending your voice to this, because now this is a three-person race for the U.S. Senate, and I'm guessing this changes the equation, the dynamics of what your approach to this is. But give me your perspective of the fact that now you have an independent joining, and the fact that it's Rick Becker, and he's certainly a far more, I guess you'd say, conservative, or at least that's the picture he's painting out there. What's your view of this now, this news today?
Well, I think that Becker entering the race indicates just how weak Hoeven is. The whole federal delegation is probably the weakest one in North Dakota's history in terms of being able to negotiate for the constituents in the state. I think the thing that voters know about Becker, like you were talking about with his stances, we know where he stands, right? And that very far right wing of the GOP that isn't very supportive of subsidies for farmers and freedoms for women or the LGBT community, right? But with Hoeven, we never really know where he is. He's a weather vane waiting for orders or, you know, his sense of popularity. Like when he finally ended up saying something about how Summit was approaching landowners with the carbon dioxide capture pipeline, you know, he just realized, oh yeah, I got to get on the side of landowners here. Very tepid response. So I think that, you know, Becker entering this race really amplifies the myth of John Hoeven in the state, that he does things for the state. He really, the reason you haven't seen him come out to say anything today is because he doesn't have anything to say. Right. He's waiting for somebody else to kind of give him the, oh, yeah, this is what I should say. But he doesn't have the ability to say, I did this for North Dakotans. I've done this, this and this over the last 12 years. He hasn't done much of anything other than win the seat and push for lower lease payments around the reservoir. Otherwise, he's been very concerned with his wealth. So I see this as an opportunity for North Dakota to elect me, a real problem solver, an engineer. Right. I've been trained to optimize how do you get your objectives while reducing your input costs. That is a skill that neither one of these opponents have. That is my entire, you know, professional background. I teach people how to do that. So I look forward to this election because I think it really kind of blasts up the stagnation that was happening in North Dakota politics, right? You either had the Burgum appointees who were on a trajectory or the old guard, you know. So I'm excited. I think it's great for North Dakota.
Well, it certainly, as you're alluding to, sparked up the, I think the energy, the dialogue around this race this upcoming election. And I think there's been a couple of other moments that have done that, one being a Supreme Court decision not long ago. That also injected, I think, new energy across it. And if Kansas has any, you know, implications of what could be coming up for November, I think that caught a lot of people's attention as well. You mentioned where we know where Rick Becker stands on issues. We don't know where John Hoeven stands on a variety of things. That opens up the question of where do you stand on these issues? I mean, we've got a variety of things that have happened over the last few months. You know, you've got the Inflation Reduction Act, as they're calling it. You've got the veterans bill when it comes to the burn pits, which we were very critical of Kevin Cramer on. I guess my question is, where do you stand on some of the top issues going into this election?
So I'm going to comment on Cramer voting no on that first re-up of the PACT Act, because I think that is really what's indicative of the GOP politics in the state. The GOP here is so comfortable, so confident that they can just break the rules. They can just spite the vets, right? They don't need to worry about the ramifications of their votes because their voters will just vote for them because they're Republicans, not because they're doing the right things. And I think the blowback that Kevin Cramer got from that shows that, yeah, maybe the GOP can't just break all the rules and delete all the emails and not do any sort of, you know, auditing, right? Maybe the GOP here in the state of North Dakota actually does want the federal delegation to support vets who served with honor and deserve the health care that they should get for, you know, what they were exposed to when they were serving. I think the big thing for me is the CHIPS Act. So Hoeven voted against the CHIPS Act, which did pass, thank goodness, right? But that's going to bring semiconductor manufacturing back to the United States. It's going to fund research to develop innovative ways to manufacture semiconductors or to make them out of materials that we have here on American soil. And, you know, the United States is the birthplace of so many amazing ideas and innovations and designs. And, you know, back after World War II, we were manufacturing semiconductors because we invented them. They were invented here. Now, 90% of the, you know, really important semiconductors are manufactured in Taiwan. It is a national security risk that we do not manufacture semiconductors. It is a national security risk that we are not the best at manufacturing semiconductors. And one of the reasons why inflation is such a problem is because we don't manufacture stuff here. We design it, we invent it, and then we let somebody else manufacture it. And we need to be doing that manufacturing on the American soil again. That is the thing that I think the CHIPS Act, it really serves to do. I mean, we can, one of the amazing things about American manufacturing is that we can, we believe we can do anything. And typically we can. We put people on the moon. Just recently, right, we sampled an asteroid mid-flight in space. I mean, we can do the impossible here. And that's what, you know, really excites me about the CHIPS Act. And I do not understand why Hoeven voted against it, other than it might have been against his investment interests. I don't know. I do not know why anyone would vote against American manufacturing.
Katrina Christensen, our guest, MNPL candidate for the U.S. Senate. One of the things that comes out repeatedly in this program for Republican listeners is that Democrats aren't for U.S. energy. You know, that they came into this administration very anti-oil, anti-fossil fuels. And they pegged that as the entire Democratic Party. That's a tough position to be in a state like North Dakota, running as a Democrat. So my question is, one, is that an accurate picture of Democrats in general? And two, being a Democrat running, are you embracing being a Democrat, or are you trying to find some separation from the National Party?
So I think that I'm going to answer your first question, and that I think that that is just marketing done by the GOP party. Right? The United States is the world's largest energy producer right now. We are the world's largest exporter of liquid, liquefied natural gas right now, right? We are, you know, pumping a lot of oil. I think the criticisms about North Dakota maybe having some plateauing in terms of the wells drilled and those sorts of things really have to do with the market, not the government, right? So oil companies are utilizing what's called capital restraint. Right, they're trying to give a rate of return to their investors following, you know, the really, you know, terrible 2020 year where they saw losses and those sorts of things. So the companies, the oil companies, the drilling companies, all of those are trying to make sure that they can get some earnings to return back to their shareholders, and so they're practicing capital restraint in places like North Dakota, because they can make as much money as they can right now, right? You know, maximize your earnings. Which means lower your input costs and capitalize on the fact that you can get a lot per barrel of oil right now. So I think that that is just marketing by the GOP. I don't think that Democrats are, and I think that's long been a marketing tool by the GOP. And for myself, you know, when I was talking to the reporters earlier this morning, you know, I'm an engineer. And so, like, I know that Becker tried to peg me as this big spending Democrat. I have been trained my whole life to reduce costs and maximize output. So that's how I approach things. Like, I think about natural gas production. Natural gas is probably one of the most valuable fuels we have on Earth. It is a really valuable resource because it's so energy dense and it burns so cleanly. We need to make sure that we have that resource as long as we can, because it's really hard to have that type of energy density and efficiency in operations with other fuel types, wind, solar, battery. It's just, as an engineer, natural gas is a beautiful fuel. And so I think that, again, that labeling as a Democrat is marketing. I'm an engineer. I'm a Democrat. But I don't necessarily, somebody had sent me an email like, oh, do you support the Green Deal? I didn't write the Green Deal. And so therefore, I'm not going to put my name on it. Like I think about things in a very different way than a business person would, or from somebody who's studied law. Right. I look at evidence. And so that's kind of how I would approach, what does America's energy portfolio need to look like?
Katrina, do you have just a little bit more time? I'm up against the clock. Can I hold you on through this break?
Yes.
Okay. Katrina Christensen is my guest. She is the Democratic MPL candidate for U.S. Senate. Ton of messages coming into 35270. I'll go back to those and Katrina Christensen right after this here on KFGO.
B.O.
I've only got a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to get right back to my guest before KFGO News. Katrina Christensen is our guest, Democratic NPL candidate for the U.S. Senate. You have now three individuals in this race, Katrina being one. You got John Hoeven and now Rick Becker today. Katrina, the question I have, you talked about reducing costs, people talking about inflation. You know, you had the Inflation Reduction Act, all this that's been playing out. Is there an area that you're saying, look, this is where we need to dial back on? Because that's something routinely. In fact, you had already said that Rick Becker today basically called you a tax and spend liberal. I mean, is there an area where you look at saying, well, this is where they're wrong and here's what I would do?
Well, so, for example, I do think that the Inflation Reduction Act is a very well put together piece of legislation. It's going to cap prescription drug prices for Medicare recipients. It's going to allow negotiation for price controls for Medicare, which will help the federal government negotiate better prescription drug prices. It's going to help people who have to get health insurance on the ACA market in terms of, you know, making sure that those plans are affordable. So I do think that, okay, so the inflation area in healthcare, it's going to address that, right? And then we also see some investments in energy that I think are appropriate. I think that one of the things that makes inflation challenging in North Dakota and the United States is that, you know, a diversified energy portfolio that allows for competition is really important. So, I support those sorts of policies. I think the thing that I really want to make sure that we have our heads around is how the supply chain is impacting inflation, right? So if you are manufacturing stuff abroad and then it has to ship to the United States and then it has to sit in a port and then, you know, there are fees associated with it sitting in the port and then it has to be transported again, there are all of these accumulation of costs that are leading to, you know, what we are hurting from right now. Right. And so if we start to manufacture the things that we consume in the United States again, I think we'll have a really, you know, better future. I think one of the things that we need to be careful about when we're either acting in a capacity as government or something, adjacent to that is getting locked into the wrong technologies, getting locked into losers. And so some of the times, you know, we can do that, right? I was talking earlier to a person today about economic development and how they were kind of disgusted with some of the choices in their community by economic development. I was thinking, oh, that's what they did. They chose a loser, you know? And so we need to be very critical about what it is that we choose when we invest taxpayer dollars, right? Are we using this money to make all of our lives better, or is it just, you know, kind of like pork barrel legislation and it's really just benefiting one group? So, making sure that we're using evidence to make investments in communities.
Katrina, I'm up against this KFGO news break, and I know we're going to have more conversations between now and November. If people want to know more about you today, where do you suggest they go?
Website KatrinaForUSSenate.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tyler, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time with us today. Katrina Christensen, again, Dem NPL candidate.